Me, 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 me.
Well, what have we here?
This is so wizarding.
We're all adults here.
I'm a straight up nerd.
This is the So Wizard Podcast, episode 115. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the So Wizard Podcast. My name is Tom Van Zandt. I am your host, and with me this week are two of my lovely and talented co-hosts, Miss Aubrey Litchfield.
Oh man, I'm first. I wasn't ready for that.
It's okay. Hi, Aubrey.
Hi.
And of course, your friend and mine, the expert, Mr. Marky Mark, Markellis Reagans.
Save the rebellion, save the dream.
That's right, Forrest Whitaker. And that chuckle you hear is our special guest this week. Joey DiCarlo is not with us this week. He's feeling under the weather. Sorry, Joey. Sorry, not sorry. And so filling in is our friend, Mr. Mark Mastel. Hello, Mark, artist extraordinaire. How are you?
Hello, wizards. I am very excited to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you. We know you're a faithful listener.
Oh, yeah. Every week, every Thursday, I tune you guys in. Puts a big smile on my face.
Nice. And then you watch Blacklist that night, and it puts a big smile on your face again.
I do. I do. And I think of you every time.
That's right. And how everyone on this show hates it.
He thinks of you at night, Tom.
Well, you know, of course he thinks of me. He's the man who did say this at one point, if you recall, Aubrey. I don't know if you remember this.
Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them.
He did say that when we had him on last year.
That's a beautiful thing. Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them.
Never get enough.
Oh, God. He's got a little. Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt.
All right, that's enough. Enough out of you, Dropbox.
Kill it, kill it, kill it.
Sound Dropbox. All right.
There so you go, Mark. Mark, welcome to our world.
Yeah,
now you're, now you're part of the family.
Hey, don't get me started, Markellis.
You're on this end of the soundboard.
That's right. You're on the end that has no control.
It's a cock!
Sorry. God, sorry. All right, well, Mark, it's good to have you with us, and you're going to tell us a little bit about BingCon, which is why you're on. But before you do, we need to drop some social media presence for all the whiz kids out there. And since Joey's not here this week, I am going to turn to the expert to handle that. Mr. Mark, would you please give me some social media presence?
You got it, Tom. I want to say that everyone can go to the soulwizardpodcast.com website, where they'll find a podcast every week. Links to all our social media accounts on the right-hand side of the page. That is soulwizardpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a five-star review if you do. Listen to us on Stitcher Radio and the Stitcher Radio app on your tablet and smartphone. Find us on apps like Podbean, Satchel, and Google Play Music. Tom.
I like it!
Well done, Marky Mark.
Thank you.
Mr. Social Media Mastermind would be proud if he was here. Actually, if he was here, you wouldn't have had to do it.
Yeah, I don't think he would care.
No, probably not. But hey, good job. So, Mark Mastel, Mr. BingCon, how are you?
Mr. BingCon, yeah, you know, I'm actually very proud to be called Mr. BingCon. Mike Dobbs and I came up with this show a couple of years ago, and we proposed it to Brian Hale over the Bing. Said, hey, let's make a big fundraiser. Let's get a comic book convention back in Springfield.
That's right. And those of you out there who don't know what the Bing is, it's a small theater in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Yeah, the Bing is a nonprofit art center. They have live acts. They show movies. They have art exhibits. They have authors' readings, and they actually hosted our first BingCon there. Yeah, it was a great event, and we just grew and grew. And this is our fourth year, and now we're up at Trinity Methodist Church over in Ashbury Hall, and we fill up three big rooms.
And I understand the last couple of years you introduced a musical element too, which was
we did. Hey, you know, we needed somebody. We needed someone to do run some music, do some emceeing, and this guy Tom Van Zandt just said, "Hey, I can do it for free." And we like free. Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's all right. He's all right by me.
Yeah, he's going to be our MC this year. We've got a cosplay parade, and we're also got an art fight this year.
Oh, the art fight was fun last year.
Yeah, art fight's going to be fun. Matty Ryan hosted it last year. He can't be with us this year, so our man VZ is going to be taking care of it and running the festivities.
Nice. Well, that's good to hear.
You do realize how much responsibility you are putting into Tom's hands, right?
Oh, I think he can handle it.
You know
he's
why?
He's a big boy.
You know why, right?
Why? Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them. Oh, Christ.
Sorry.
So every time we hear that, do we have to drink?
No, heavens no.
I'm sure the fans do.
Yeah, that's a good game for all those kids out there.
They're probably already drunk at this point.
If they're listening to us, probably.
Yeah.
All right, well, yeah, that's good. So what else besides myself playing, spinning the wheels of steel, as Joey DiCarlo would say, what else do we have to look forward at BingCon? First of all, it's this Saturday, right, the 22nd? Right.
Yep, October 22nd.
And it's from noon?
11.
11 to 5.
11 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a $5 admission, one of the cheapest conventions to get into.
Wonderful. That's a great price.
Yeah. Free parking. You don't have to sell your soul to get into the show. No pre-sale tickets. If we get big enough to do pre-sale tickets, then we'll have to move into a bigger facility. But right now...
Say we're going to have to get out of the church.
Yeah. Well, the church is interesting because we can't do raffles because it's gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have alcohol.
No.
They never did say anything about nudity, though.
Woo, I'm getting naked.
Nobody could see me behind my table, but I had my pants off last year.
You did. Yeah, that's what we heard. Yeah. So anyways, back to BingCon. No. It's a Van Zandt in them. Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
So who do we got coming this year? Who can we expect to see?
This year, we have returning Steve Bissett. This is going to be his last convention, supposedly ever.
Really?
Yeah. He's kind of tired of shows, and he's going to take it easy and just kick back and continue teaching up in Vermont.
Right.
But for new this year, we've got Sean Wang. Sean's a local guy. He's been around in the Valley for quite a few years.
Sean Wang's a good man. He's a former artist of the Tick comic book and, of course, his own comic, The Runners, which I'm a fan of.
Yeah, and actually he's been reissuing and collecting the book, and he's going to be there with us. We also have Gary Halgren. Gary Halgren is a underground artist from the 70s. Mm-hmm. He was a member of the Air Pirates. And the Air Pirates did something very interesting. They parodied Disney characters. Oh. And that got them into a lot of trouble, and they ended up in front of the Supreme Court.
Jesus.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So I guess Gary's were a little too close to the originals, huh?
Oh, yeah. And then we're talking back in the 70s where Disney was not, the hawks they are now.
Right.
And, they took these guys to task.
Wow. Who ended up winning?
Disney.
Oh, no.
When does Disney ever lose?
I can't wait to meet these guys and talk to them about that fiasco. Oh, boy.
Gary's an awesome guy. He's original cool daddy hipster guy. You'll like him a lot.
Yeah, cool. Looking forward to meeting him.
We also have Steve Murphy coming back. Steve has been with us from day one. He's a great writer. Last year, he put out the Puma Blues collected that he wrote initially back in the 90s with Mike Zulli.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a new collected book coming out called Umbra, which is going to be also coming from Dover. That was originally published through Image, and I was able to work on this edition also, scanning new artwork, lettering. So I've become like his personal graphic designer.
Ah, so you've touched this book, literally.
I've touched this book. I touched the Puma Blues book, too.
Nice.
Yeah, I got to see all of Zulli's brand new artwork up front, got to letter it, had a blast with it.
Awesome.
For a few other people coming up, we've got Jim Taylor coming up from Connecticut. Jim's a great guy, real retro art feel to his stuff. We've got Ron Leary Jr., the man who we refer to who has the Hollywood good looks.
Yes.
And his wife smiles every time we say that.
Right.
We also have our pal Scotty Hamilton coming back. Sabrina Zabaremba is going to be there. T.C. Ford. Interesting thing about T.C. Ford. T.C. was one of the last editors of Charlton Comics.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that. I found that out last year, and it's amazing. Some of the stories he has will boggle the mind.
Nice.
Let's see. I'm looking at my list now. We've got Tom Ryan coming back. He's from the east end of the state. Real talented artist. Great prints, real fun guy to talk to. Sue Alston's coming back from the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. Very knowledgeable. Great, great fund. You know, if you're a artist or a writer who feels that their First Amendment rights have been violated, or if you've been arrested, call the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, and they will support you any way they can.
That sounds like the Air Pirates guy could have used them back in the day.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. We've got a guy coming up. His name is Brian Kirk. I don't know if, Tommy, you may remember him. He used to have books over at Same Bat Channel in the Holyoke Mall.
Oh, my goodness. That's a throwback. Holy.
Yeah. He used to do a book called Ubiquitous Funnies.
That's the first comic book store I ever worked in.
Yeah, Brian Kirk, he's been around for a long time. He's kind of making a resurgence with his Ubiquitous Funnies. And he'll be joining us there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him again. Real super nice guy. Awesome. I think everybody will get a kick out of him.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then we've got our pal Mark LaPierre coming up. Gary Smith from South Deerfield's coming down with some of his beautiful painted work. We've got Andy Driscoll coming out from the eastern half of the state. We got those guys, Mastel and Dobbs. They're going to be sitting there promoting their books.
Those two clowns.
Two clowns, man. go ahead.
No, I said, of course, there will be food, right?
Yes, we got food coming up this year. We've got Benson's Bagels going to be throwing up some sandwiches and some wraps for us. Dave Benson is a board member of the Bing Art Center, and Brian said, please, we need some new food this year.
Right.
So, yeah, Dave's stepping up to the task, and he's going to do up some food for us along with, you know, some muffins, some bagels, that kind of thing, along with full sandwiches. And I think everybody will come up, you know, being fed well and being happy.
Good. Nerds like to eat.
Yes, we do. And this way, you know, hey, they stay inside the building.
That's right. Exactly. That's
where you are. Keep them in the house.
Keep them in the house. Like the call. I mean, what? Anyway. Good. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. You know, the more we can grow the show, the more money we can raise for the Bing. Everyone is happy. And, you know, if we can get another couple hundred people through the door, it'll make Brian happy, and it'll just show that Springfield needs a show. Springfield needs their own comic book show, and we need to really support it.
Absolutely. So all of you people in Connecticut area and all you Massachusetts people and some of you Vermont people, you can travel down to. I mean, Steve Bissett's coming down, so why can't you?
Right, so, yeah, 2 hours.
I think a $5 admission is totally worth the trip. And you should come and support the Bing Con. So where exactly, what is the exact address, and is there a website or anywhere they can go to find out more information?
It is. You can go to Facebook, and you can type in Bing Comic Con, and you'll see one pop up from 2015. That's the page that I started initially. And then you can also go to bingcomiccon.org. And that will tell you some of the people that are coming. The main address is Trinity Methodist Church, Ashbury Hall. Is 361 Sumner Avenue in Springfield, Massachusetts. 11 to 5 on this Saturday, October 22nd. And also, too, after the show at 7:30 up at the Bing Art Center, we're also going to be showing Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. And it's a free admission. If you get yourself into the show, you can come on down and check out the movie.
Is that the 30th anniversary edition?
It certainly is.
Nice. Well, you remind me of the babe, Mark.
Oh, I look like Jennifer Connelly?
You're supposed to say what babe, but it's okay.
Okay.
That's right, Mark. Don't fall for his ropey dope.
You know why?
Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them. I'm glad you only pull that out once a year.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them.
Thank you for that drop, Mark. Because you'll be hearing, I'm glad you only pulled that out once a year. That'll be coming around again.
Thanks, pal. Thanks a lot. He's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them.
Well, thank you for coming on, Mr. Mastel.
I appreciate the invite. You guys are a great supporter for us. I look forward to seeing you guys. Now, Mark, you're coming. You've got a table. And Tom, you're coming. You've got your table.
Mark Reagans has a table at BingCon?
Yeah, just like last year.
You didn't last year. Them off in the list of guests. Come on, that's big news for the Whiz Kids out there.
Well, you know, it's mostly to promote the podcast. I will have some artwork available, but mainly it's to show off my new webcomic that's going to be coming out in another couple of months.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing it.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, it's just a little. It's a little something I can do to spread my wings. You know, I'm not just a sexy voice on a podcast.
That's all you were.
I have something that I forgot to tell you about Mark, but I'll tell you now.
Oh boy.
As an added incentive with your $5 admission price, you will also receive a free copy of Unhappy Grandma Number 1. So
wow,
if you don't already own a copy, which you should, damn it. Unhappy Grandma Number 1 will be given away for free at the door when you come into BingCon. So
that's huge.
Yeah, because I've got boxes and boxes of them in my basement. Yeah. And my wife wants them up here. No,
but I feel proud though because I have a T-shirt.
You do have a T-shirt. You do.
I wear it to sleep in.
Well, that's great. And you dream about the fact
Unhappy Grandma.
Dream about the fact that.
Tom only pulls it out once a year.
And Santa in them.
Nice. And on that note, all right, Mark, we're going to cut you loose. Thank you for coming on with us and promoting the BingCon, and we will be there on Saturday, October 22nd, and it's going to be a good time.
I greatly appreciate it, guys. I look forward to seeing all of you there.
I take all song requests. I don't necessarily play all song requests, but I do take them.
K-pop.
I'll tell you what, Mark Ellis, you bring some K-pop, I'll play it for you.
It's happening.
Okay.
How about a little Fergie and her MILF song?
I unfortunately have that song.
Money. Amazing video. Amazing.
You know what's an amazing video? John Allegrez's video for Dr. West Chesterton's new song. Did you know that he did that?
I didn't.
Yeah. That another local boy done good.
I'll have to look for that.
Yeah. It's on YouTube.
Okay, great.
All right, Mark, we'll let you go to bed. Thanks for coming
Thanks,
on.
Thanks, fellas.
We'll see you this
Thank
week.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Right.
Ciao, Maine.
Ciao.
Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them.
Beautiful. Well, that was nice of him to come on and do that. But let's get down to brass tacks here, shall we? Do we have news that we are going to discuss this week?
Yeah, we do have a little bit of news, a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news. I got something for you for breaking news.
And now the news.
What do you got?
All right, so this week saw the big fat premiere of the final trailer for Star Wars Rogue One.
Oh, yes.
It broke records, broke the internet. People went nuts over it. It looked amazing. Did we all get a chance to watch it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's get some thoughts on it. Let's start with the lady, Aubrey.
I think I was thinking about this as I was watching it. I think the only thing that's really disappointing to me about Rogue One is that the girl obviously dies.
Why would you say that, Aubrey?
Because she's not in any of the other movies.
No, that's not necessarily true. She might just like go off in hiding. I have a feeling that if Rogue One is successful, there will be sequels, prequel/sequels with these characters. I think you haven't seen the last of these characters.
I think it does look good, though, but I'm not. I mean, I'm more optimistic about this than I am a solo Han Solo movie.
Mm.
And it looks really good. I'm really excited about it. It looks like a Star Wars spinoff. I'm just kind of like, well, because I feel like I know the ending already.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do. You know that they get the Death Star plans, but
yeah, I mean, obviously,
is the.
All right, so, Tom, what did you think of it?
Groovy.
Oh yeah. It was groovy, baby. I loved it. I'm glad they finally showed Vader because we know he's going to be in the movie. So just show him already. So we got that quick scene of him walking towards somebody. So that was cool. As far as like whether or not these characters survive it, you know, you got to remember it's a big galaxy out there. There's lots of systems. So just because they don't appear in any of the other Star Wars movies doesn't mean they're not out there having adventures at the same time on other systems, you know? So I don't think we know the ending. I mean, we know they get the Death Star plans, but beyond that, we don't know anything about these characters and they look like interesting characters. I want to learn more about them. And so, yeah, I'm pretty stoked. What'd you think, Marky Mark?
I thought for sure that watching more trailers and seeing more footage would kind of not disappoint me, but it would kind of like, you know, like enough already, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think I can get excited any more than I already was, but I am.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. It looks like the Star Wars movie that I wanted when I was a kid with, you know, the AT-ATs and the walkers and stormtroopers. And it looks like me as a little kid playing with action figures in my backyard, only on a big screen.
Yeah, and I will say the one thing that I do find odd, and it's kind of like what Aubrey was saying, is they show these certain like things in this prequel story that you do not see at all in any of the other movies, mm-hmm. like that you think would carry over, like the Rebel U-Wing or the Shadow Troopers, or you know what I mean? So there's certain aspects of this, the newness of it, that I'm not too keen on, because only because that should have carried over into the other movies. The fact that we don't see individual characters doesn't bother me, because they could be off doing other shit. But if the Empire is using, you know, these Shadow Troopers here, why don't they use them again in a future movie that we saw already? You know what I mean? And Disney, that's not an invite for you to go make special editions and CGI implant Shadow Troopers and U-Wings into the original trilogies that already exist. Please don't do that.
But you know that they will.
Probably. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, wait, they want more of the Shadow Troopers. Let's give it to them.
Let's get a special edition of a movie that's already released a special edition, and then have it be an extended cut and a theatrical cut.
Yeah, that's and then they'll put it out on DVD and charge like $80, and then they'll lock it in a vault.
Yeah, right. They'll have a DVD plus Blu-ray. Right. Then DVD plus Blu-ray, I can't speak today, then, plus digital HD.
Digital HD download, and then 4K, mm-hmm. super 3D. Yeah.
And somewhere right now, there's a Disney executive like rubbing his hands together going, yes.
And he's saying to himself, I don't understand why Fox doesn't like these So Wizard guys. They've got some great ideas. Fuck you, Fox.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah, but the trailer does look good, and seeing Forrest Whitaker is just, it's awesome. And I didn't realize his character was the same character from the Clone War.
Yeah. Supposedly they were creating this character for the movie, and someone in the Star Wars camp was like, hey, we have a character just like that in the Clone Wars. Like, oh, well, why don't we just make it that character?
Yeah, makes that's sense. Pretty awesome. Tie it all together. I like it.
Yeah. I think there's going to be more characters from the cartoon Clone Wars that are going to be showing up in these movies, and
I'd love to see Rex.
Oh, the commander, the old clone.
Yeah, the old clone commander. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think someone had a theory that he was that older guy that was in Return of the Jedi when they were on Endor and they're breaking into the bunker. You know, Han's throwing the grenades up into the thing, the detonators up into the thing, and then they run out of there. If you look in that group of rebels, there's an old guy with a beard. And
really?
And someone was like, that could be Rex.
That would be cool. And if not, they could CGI implant him, I guess.
Yeah.
And make it so.
Yeah, I think one of the things I really did like about the trailer was that statue, that fallen statue of the Jedi.
From the temple?
Yeah, where they're flying over, and it's like, oh, man, like I want to know what is the story of that? What is this place that had this gigantic Jedi statue that's fallen?
Mm.
So I feel like I hope that they've really crafted a good story in there. Like, I really hope there's some good material that they could, that's going to enhance the Star Wars universe and not feel like it's tacked on just to squeeze more money out of it.
It'll flesh out things that we already know.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I did think it was a neat twist that her father is actually responsible for designing the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
That, because I was wondering why they chose, I'm trying to think, why would they choose this girl? Like, she's so unassuming, and like, why would she be picked? But now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because she's got a connection, a personal connection with the guy in charge of making the damn thing. The other thing I'm curious about is this director, the new bad guy there in the white suit. What the hell's his name? Director something or other.
Oh, I don't know.
Man, he's like the Grand Moff Tarkin character. Anyway, I'm curious to know what is going to become of him. He's obviously not in Star Wars A New Hope, and Tarkin's all of a sudden in charge.
Yeah,
so.
I'm pretty sure Vader's going to kill him.
I know. Well, in the scene where you see Vader charging towards someone, it looks like he's charging towards him. So
yeah.
maybe that's like Vader's big scene as he comes in at the end to kill the guy.
And it's like, all right, enough of you, man. You had your chance. You blew it.
You're done.
I'm taking you out.
Bye, Felicia.
That's right.
Bye, Felicia.
I think it's funny that there's all of these warriors and, you know, these droids and this girl and this group of, like, almost like a Suicide Squad type of, like, group.
That is what it felt like, yeah.
That's going out and risking their hide to get the plans. And then everyone's going to give credit to this farm boy.
And, like, and an R2 unit.
Yeah, like just got behind the wheel of a ship. Like just got off the galaxy like a week ago. And he's going to be like, oh, thank goodness for Luke Skywalker. Thank the Force. He saved us all.
That's awesome.
And it's like a group of people like, motherfucker.
It is. It's like a thankless thing, these poor Rogue One guys. It's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, the movie, obviously it has to end with Princess Leia getting the plans.
Yeah, or them beaming him onto the, beaming him on board the ship.
Right.
Beaming a transmission aboard the ship.
So you'll see Tantive IV.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they didn't show any of it. They showed it in episode 3.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Yeah. That's exciting. Cool. Yeah, I'm stoked. Bring it. I can't wait. When is it? December what?
December 19th, I think.
Nice. Something can't like that. Fast enough. Let's do it. We have more news?
Yeah. Yeah, we'd have a little bit more news.
News, motherfucker.
Virtual Aubrey has spoken. What do you got for?
So it looks like they are casting, staying on the Star Wars subject, it looks like they're casting for the Han Solo movie that's coming up.
Oh, boy. We all know how Joey feels about this. In the words of Joey, it's a mistake. It's nothing but trash.
Right, right. He's not going to be excited. Well, maybe, actually, I take that back. Maybe some of this casting will bring him around to it. So there's three actresses that are vying for a role in the new Han Solo spinoff movie. One of them is Tessa Thompson, who we spoke about before. She was in Creed.
She's also going to be in the new Thor Ragnarok movie.
Exactly. And then there's Zoe Kravitz, who you may know from X-Men First Class, the first one.
Who was she in that?
She played Angel, the girl with the wings.
Oh, sure, yeah.
She's also in the Divergent series. She's like the sidekick.
Bleh.
She's Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet's daughter.
Fair enough.
And she's been in a bunch of movies, too. And also there is Naomi Scott, who you might not recognize now, but she will be the Pink Ranger in the new Power Rangers movie that's coming out. So these three actresses are all vying for this one part in the Han Solo movie, and I believe it's going to be the part of his wife.
Yeah, they introduced in the Star Wars comic books.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So I, even though I do have these books, I have yet to read that storyline, so I'm appealing to my comic book fans here, Tom and Joey, but Joey isn't here. So Tom, what can you tell me about this character? Should I be excited about her being in a Han Solo movie?
I don't know.
Have you read the books either?
Yeah, I read the first couple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of that. I don't know if I like it. I don't think I do.
You don't?
I don't know if it, I mean, maybe it'll help the fact that she shows up in these comics, maybe some backstory. And seeing her actually in a movie will strengthen this storyline. I'm not sure. The jury is out.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of weird that they're going to put a quote unquote romantic interest with Han Solo when we all know that
he ends up with Leia.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, what's the
point? That's why it was weird when she showed up in the comic and claiming to be his wife. And you're like, what?
All right. So, Aubrey, what do you think?
I agree with Joey. It's going to be nothing but trash.
Thanks, Joey. Well, I'm excited that Tessa Thompson is going to be in another geeky movie, so I'm all for that. I say bring it on. If she does get the part, I think she will. I think Zoe Kravitz has already had her geeky limelight with the Divergent series. And Naomi Scott, obviously, is going to be in the Power Rangers, so she's still kind of new. I think Disney might go for someone as tried and true, and Tessa Thompson is definitely definitely an actress worth her salt, especially coming from coming off of Creed. So I think she's going to get the gig, and I'll be psyched to see it.
She'll get the gig because she's already got the Disney tie being in the Thor Ragnarok movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's
They've
what I was
already
thinking.
Worked with her, so they know what they're going to get, and they'll probably get her cheaper because they'll assign her to some multi-movie contract. And
Well, that's the deal about Star. That's the thing about Star Wars is that they can pay you whatever they want. It's like you're in Star Wars. We'll give you three nickels and like a bag of peanuts.
Right.
Do you want to be in Star Wars?
Yeah, yes. I'm sure Brian Boyega did it for pretty much just an action figure. Yeah. What? I get to be my own action figure?
Yeah.
Can I keep the lightsaber? Yeah, okay. All right.
There you go. Where do I sign?
What did I say, Brian Boyega? I'm sorry, John Boyega. Why did I call him Brian Boyega?
You're thinking Brian Boitano.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Right. You're thinking Brian John Boitano. Boyega.
I don't know. For some reason, Brian Boyega sounded better to me. He should change his name.
Get right on it. All right.
That's all we think about that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm. What about that little bit of news with the casting of Robin in the Batman movie? Would that be considered breaking news?
I don't think that's news.
I think you need to tell Aubrey about that. I don't think she knows about that. She needs to hear about that from you.
Aubrey knows about that.
Well, I'm going to play it anyway.
Welcome for a special news report.
The WizKids probably don't know. Tell them.
Okay, so the internet went a little berserk this weekend.
Why, Mark?
Because apparently Joe Manganiello?
Manganiello, yeah. He's playing Deathstroke in the new Batman flick.
Yeah, he took a picture of himself and Anna Kendrick and posted it on Instagram. And
Aubrey loves Anna Kendrick.
So much.
And he used the hashtag Deathstroke, hashtag Robin.
Oh, man.
So immediately everyone thought, oh, my God, it's a female Robin and Anna Kendrick is going to be playing her.
She can't play Robin. She's going to be Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, that's most likely going to happen. So from what I understand, everyone lost their mind. The first I've heard of it was when
lost
you guys...
Their mind in a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Oh, okay.
I have to do a little investigating because the first I've heard of it was when you guys were upset about it. So I saw an interview with Ben Affleck and Anna Kendrick. They were promoting their new movie, The Accountant.
Right. She's in that with him.
And as a joke, she kind of dressed up as Robin.
No, she didn't. She dressed up like the fucking Hamburglar from McDonald's with an R on her chest.
That's what... That's
didn't get the Robin costume right.
That's the first thing I thought. You know, and did you guys see the interview?
I don't know, but you need to post that picture on the Facebook page, on the So Wizard Facebook page. These Wiz Kids need to see this crap.
I'll be sure to do it.
All right, thank you.
So during the interview, they were talking about The Accountant, and of course the reporter was like, oh, you know, you have some other things going on. Saying to Affleck, you know, what else you have going on? He's like, oh, I have Justice League coming up, and we're going to be doing a Batman movie. And Anna Kendrick was like, oh, I love superhero movies. I would love to be, you know, a part of it. I could be like a cool superhero. And then Ben Affleck turns to her, and like in a split second, she's dressed up as Robin.
It was a bit.
Yeah, it was a bit.
She's dressed up like Robin Burglar.
So, Aubrey, did you believe this, Anna Kendrick was actually going to be the new female Robin?
I didn't read anything about it. I just saw that, and I said, hashtag nothing but trash.
Nothing but squirrel face.
Yeah. Joe tried getting me to watch Pitch Perfect the other day. And I was like, no, we got to leave the house. Burn the TVs. Just burn them.
Oh, man. Poor Anna Kendrick.
I think it's kind of cute that Joe wanted you to watch that, though. I think that's kind of adorable.
That he wanted to watch Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, that he wanted you to watch. He's like, oh, my God, I love this movie. You have to watch this.
It's because he likes Anna Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
That's his Tom Hardy. It's disgusting.
He likes ferret faces?
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
Yikes.
I'm not on a different level.
Chalk that up to Nickelback love.
Yeah, he said that I'm on a different level with my love for Tom Hardy. He looks good even if he's wearing a trash bag.
He is a trash bag.
Joe said he is a trash bag.
Yeah. Joe, I take great offense to what you're saying.
Man, Kendrick's face looks like a trash bag.
Oh, my God. What happens when Tom Hardy and Anna Kendrick make a movie together?
Oh, no.
It's going to be disappointing. You know why I'm on a different level? Because we're actually married.
Right.
And you'll never be able to be with Anna Kendrick.
That's right. You and Tom Hardy have a secret marriage.
Yeah, we do. He just doesn't know it.
Right.
It's so secret even he doesn't know about it.
Someday those checks will start coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to buy me a ring. He just couldn't because he was traveling filming.
That's right. He was filming Mad Max.
He was. He would. What?
Sleeping with his wife.
You know what?
Are you guys having like a legit fight on the podcast? Because that would be
special. No.
That.
No, our arguments usually have a lot of fuck you.
Oh, that's fine. This is an unedited podcast. Let loose.
Are you recording a fucking podcast?
Oh, marvelous. All right. Well, moving on. So Anna Kendrick is not, in fact, playing Robin. This was a goof. Not a funny one either. Not a funny goof.
That is correct. That's just a jab because she was sitting next to the guy playing Batman.
Right. Right.
She just looks like the legit Hamburglar.
Right. Joe Manganiello just thought he was funny and wanted to perpetuate that. I get it. Ha ha. Funny. Funny ha ha, Joe Manganiello.
Broke the internet with anger.
That's it. Well, surely you can end on a better note than that. We must have better news than that, for God's sakes.
There's a little bit of quick hits.
Ooh.
Quick hits. Pow, pow.
as Beat 'em Down would call it.
News, motherfucker.
What do you got?
Yeah, so it seems like every week we seem to be talking about a new Disney animated movie that's being turned into a live action movie.
Yeah, you're right. I think the last one you mentioned was what?
Lion King, probably.
Lion King, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, it was Lion King.
Yeah, they are just burning through their catalog. They're just like pumping them out. So apparently the next one, the next one's going to be Beauty and the Beast, but the next one that they are moving forward with is going to be Mulan.
Really?
Which they announced before.
Interesting.
And
that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the animated Mulan movie ever got the due that it deserved.
No, I mean, that was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're trying to get, they were trying to get Ang Lee as a director.
Well, that's very racist.
Which was...
That's like, let's do a live-action Princess and the Frog and make sure Spike Lee directs it. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, that was one of the things that, I mean, there's two things that kind of put this subject on a map as far as the internet goes. One was that it was reported that Mulan was going to have that the male romantic lead in it was going to be white, not the Asian dude. So, of course, everyone lost their mind over that. The second thing is...
Was it going to be Matt Damon? Because he likes to play Asian guys.
That would be awesome.
Just saying. It's going to be the Great Wall Mulan cinematic universe.
but Disney quickly debunked that. That was just, that wasn't true. That was,
no,
false,
it was
just
internet trolls trying to stir up shit.
Right, exactly.
Shocking.
And the second thing is Ang Lee said no, he passed on Mulan, which leads to, yes, they are making a movie that's, you know, based in China. So, of course, is it right or wrong to try to get an Asian filmmaker to kind of headline this entire production?
Are you asking us?
Yeah, I want to know what your opinion is, because a lot of people thought it was kind of wrong for them to ask him in the first place. I'm looking at it as the guy's a freaking Academy Award winning director, and he's shown a master class in doing directing, working with actors, and doing special effects. So, I mean, we're gonna take the Hulk movie out of the equation,
right?
But I think that would have been a really good get, despite the fact that, I mean, and even including the fact that he happens to be Asian.
I was gonna say, don't say despite the fact that he's Asian. That's racist.
So what do you guys think? Should Disney have gone with an Asian director to handle this big Asian production? Aubrey.
I think that an Asian director would be able, in particular a Chinese director, would be able to...
If you get a female Chinese director, she'd really know how to do it, no?
You could. I think that they'd be able to grasp the culture and the whole essence of Chinese tradition and everything. I think that they'd be able to capture that a lot better because they personally understand it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Tom, what do you think?
Well, when you say, you know, should you have an Asian director direct a movie about Asia, then I'll let Ash speak for me.
I know. It sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does, Ash. That's, no, I don't think it's crazy. Why wouldn't you? Sure. I don't think it's a racial thing. I mean, he would probably have more care and more love for the little details because it is celebrating Asian culture and he's Asian, right?
Yeah.
Be like the difference of having a non-comic book geek direct a comic book movie and a comic book geek directing a comic book movie. They would just have more zest for it, I would think, because it's in their wheelhouse.
Yeah, they might bring something a little bit extra to the table.
Exactly.
That an outsider wouldn't really, really wouldn't have.
That's right. So let's say that that's the case, and I wouldn't have a problem with it, but it doesn't matter because you're telling me Ang Lee's not involved.
Right. Ang Lee was like, fuck Disney, I'm out of here.
You fuck Disney and their money. Who needs their money?
So
I don't need this shit.
You know, he Angley was like,
dropping a bomb like that on somebody is downright rude.
Yep, it's true. No, it's not.
So Mulan,
you know what I say to Disney? I say, Disney, don't worry. Don't worry.
I mean, there's always Justin Lin. He's around.
That's right.
You'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out, Disney. You always do. I have faith in you since you've been handling the Star Wars movies so well.
I think they should get John Woo. That's what I think. I think Mulan should have two guns sliding down a Great Wall of China on her back, just shooting everything.
With Matt Damon, her boyfriend, close behind.
That's what I want.
And Mushu.
And Mushu.
Yeah, that's the other thing. How the hell are they going to do the little dragon?
Computer animated, dude.
But I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work.
All the animals talk in Jungle Book.
Yeah, but I can, if you're going to do a Mulan movie, I would want it to be more of a, you know, like based on the real, because it's based on a real story. So I'd want it to have like kind of like more or less realistic.
Yeah, but they always Disney-fy it. So you're going to, you know, if you're going to have those characters, the lovable character, you probably have the cricket. She had some cricket kicking around with her.
The horse.
Yep, the horse is a character. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested to see how
it's going to translate, but maybe that's why Ang Lee didn't want to do it. He's like, talking cricket? What?
Right. He's like, did you watch that cartoon? I'm not doing that shit.
Oh, shit. No, I don't want to have to work with Eddie Murphy.
So in other Disney animated to live action news, the next one that they're going to be doing is Aladdin.
Who the hell's going to play Jasmine? She's the hottest Disney princess there is. That's some shoes to fill, my friend.
And it looks like they already have a director in mind to go after this.
Huh.
And I don't know if he's accepted or not, but apparently it looks like Guy Ritchie is the man that Disney wants for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
No idea. No idea.
Guy Ritchie to do Aladdin, huh? I mean, if it was like a British bar fight movie, I would understand it. Why the hell would he be suited for Aladdin?
I don't know. I think they want to do, because it's a male star, I think they want to throw a lot of testosterone in it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like build up some big action scenes and some, you know, some guts. So I think they're going for like a big masculine filmmaker.
But if they want to stay with the whole race thing, why don't they get M. Night Shyamalan?
That's what I was thinking.
He'd have some stupid twist in the end.
That's right. Like really the entire time the genie was free.
Oh, fuck. Aladdin dies.
Aladdin gets trapped.
He's eaten by Raja.
The tiger. that'd be hilarious. Oh man, I don't know.
Yeah, so Disney is just burning through all of their animated movies. Did we already cover? Is there anything that you guys want to see as a live action movie that Disney hasn't done yet?
I told you, Little Mermaid, man.
Yeah, Little Mermaid.
Yeah, well, the way that they're working, that they're going to be announcing at any time.
Nice. Or Snow White. I wouldn't mind a live action Snow White.
I think he'd be a little creepy.
What, with the seven dwarfs?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Aubrey.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Nope. Just your opinion, Aubrey. I like the Seven Dwarves.
Did you guys see Snow White and the Huntsman?
Yeah, but that's not the same thing. There were eight dwarves and one got killed and then there were seven. That's not the same thing. That's fucked up, by the way.
Wait, there was eight dwarves and one died?
Yeah, you don't remember the one who got shot with the arrow?
No.
Dude, did you watch Snow White and the Huntsman?
I thought I did. Apparently, I didn't.
Yeah, there were eight dwarves. One of them, like, basically sacrifices himself to save her or Prince Charming. I don't remember which. But anyway, he gets shot with the arrow. He dies. And then there's the seven remaining dwarves. But yeah, that was awful. And, of course, it had our good friend.
I don't care.
Yeah, we said to her, Kristen, that dwarf just died. How does that make you feel?
I don't care.
Kristen, your lifeless moments when you were dying and laying there and everyone thought you were dead, that was like probably your best performance ever.
I don't care.
No, you don't. Because you're a piece of cardboard. That's how you always look.
She is going to make a big comeback at some point. I don't know when. You know, she might get cast as Little Mermaid, man. You better be careful.
No, well, if she can make a big comeback, but in her own words.
I don't care. I don't care.
No, I don't.
All right, so I don't know if you guys remember, we were talking a little bit about Benicio del Toro taking over the reins.
Yeah, of Predator?
Predator, yeah.
I do remember this. And I said, I'm a fan of Benicio, but I don't think he's a leading man.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I do remember that. Mm. Well, you're in luck, Tom. Benicio del Toro is out of Predator.
Say it isn't so, Mark.
It's very true.
What happened?
Scheduling.
Oh, come on. That's a fake excuse. Something else happened. Scheduling. If they really wanted him in the movie, they'd make it work.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on.
But his Sicario movie is getting a sequel.
Really?
Yeah, so scheduling.
Okay.
So they did announce there is someone that is going to be taking his place.
Danny Glover. No. Marlon Wayans, who is now Murtaugh in the Lethal Weapon TV.
Oh, that's Damon Wayans.
Well, I knew it was one of them Wayans brats. Damon Wayans. Well, no, it'd be Marlon because Damon's too busy making the TV show. He can't be in it.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Who's in it? Who is it?
It's
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's Donald Glover.
Shut the fuck up. That's a joke, I hope.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Oh, all right. I'm like, that would be pretty awesome. Oh, fuck. That Atlanta show is really good. Since you recommended it, I've watched it, and that last episode was fucking hilarious.
Oh, good. You watch all of them?
Oh, yeah. I'm all caught up.
Nice.
Yep. It's good.
So, yeah, the guy that's playing in the new Predator movie, his name is Boyd Holbrook. He's on a TV show called Narcos. Never heard of him. Never seen it.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. He looks like he's way younger than Benicio, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So way not known.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Benicio. So my guess is he was a hell of a lot cheaper, and that's the real reason Benicio's not. Not scheduling. Your bank account. That's.
Yeah, you know, you might be right about that.
I think I am.
So, yeah, that's it. I figured you guys would get a kick out of that because we were talking about that before. Aubrey, what do you think about Benicio del Toro not being in the new Predator movie?
I don't really
care. I'll let virtual Aubrey answer for Aubrey.
I don't care.
Yeah, she don't care. She's too busy arguing with Joe off podcast. She keeps muting her mic. I know they're fighting.
They're not fighting, right? You guys aren't fighting, right?
Yeah.
See? She's sleeping.
She's sleeping.
I'm on Google.
There you go. At least you're invested.
I'm reading about the live-action Aladdin movie.
Oh, all right. Like, the entire time Mark's talking, she's just saying in her head,
thank you for making that announcement that no one cared about.
So, one more thing I want to quickly talk about, because I think Joey will probably get upset if we don't mention this.
Oh, boy. Who cares? Joey's not even on this episode.
Supposedly, there is an update on the Hasbro Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Which I personally don't really care about, because I never played with Micronauts or Mask or any of that.
You play with Transformers, no?
Nah, not really. I was never a fan of the Transformers.
G.I. Joe?
Yeah, G.I. Joe's I did, yeah. But I wasn't, like, super invested into, like, the cartoon show.
So is this Hasbro Cinematic Universe only Micronauts and Mask, or is it actually Micronauts, Mask, Transformers, and G.I. Joe all in the same cinematic universe?
I believe it's all in the same cinematic universe.
See, I'm kind of cool with that if we end up getting some kind of Transformers G.I. Joe crossover, because I'm a fan of that. They did Transformer G.I. Joe crossovers in the cartoons, and they also did a couple of very cool comic book series featuring them crossing over. So I would be okay with that. But as far as Micronauts and the Mask series goes, I could care less.
There's also Rom, the Space Knight, and Visionaries.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm not 100% sure. I think it's going to be Transformers, G.I. Joe, Mask, Rom, Visionaries, and Micronauts all together in the same
big
cinematic universe.
Cinematic universe. Yeah. Jesus Christ. What about Cabbage Patch Kids? Are they in there somewhere? Is Cabbage Patch Kids a Hasbro thing? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't think it is, no.
Xavier Roberts sold them to somebody else, I guess. And then he tattooed all their asses. His name was on every Cabbage Patch Kid's ass.
Really?
Yeah. It said Xavier. Signed. He signed them all, too. That's the rumor.
Aubrey, did you have Cabbage Patch Kids when you were a little kid?
I only had one. I really didn't care about dolls.
Oh, yeah. What were you into as a little kid?
Video games.
Yeah, video games. Playing outside.
Obsessing over Tom Hardy.
Yeah, even back then.
That's right.
It was a lot of video games,
Okay. Hasbro Cinematic Universe. I don't know if that's going to include Transformers or not. I would assume that it is, because they've announced two more Transformer movies coming out after this new one comes out.
Well, it would make sense that you take your most successful franchise that's already rolling full steam and you interweave the other ones into that to get people on board with the rest of it. Because nobody remembers the fucking Micronauts.
Right.
Or Mask. So they're not going to go to that movie unless you somehow connect it and make them want to see the connection. You know?
And the thing is, I think they're going to do for G.I. Joe, I don't know if they're going to like connect it to the other movies that came out or if they're going to reboot it.
It's my understanding they're rebooting it.
Yeah. So, but I think it's going to take place during the 40s.
Oh, so it's like the original G.I. Joe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So it's Bruce Willis when he's young.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. They need to reboot it because they killed off Duke. You can't kill Duke. That's stupid.
Wait, was that Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's yeah. Right.
I'm sorry, spoiler alert, if you didn't know. In the G.I. Joe sequel, Rise of Cobra. What was the second one called? Revolution?
I don't remember. Oh, Retaliation?
Retaliation, yeah. Yeah, they killed Duke in like the first 10 minutes of the fucking movie. It's kind of awful.
Yeah, that's M. Night Shyamalan for you.
Oh, he was involved?
No, but I'm going to blame him for it anyway.
Oh, my God.
What a story, Mark.
Nice.
What else you got?
That's pretty much it. I saw 15 minutes of Doctor Strange
last week. About that, because our whiz kids would want to hear about that. How'd that come about?
Marvel Studios was giving out passes to everyone. They were like, hey, you want to watch 15 minutes of Doctor Strange? Here you go. So I went to see it, and I, you know, go to these premieres. I usually try to get there early to make sure I get a good seat. There I got there kind of not early, maybe a little bit later, and I was probably like the sixth person there. And I'm like, what?
Nobody wanted the free passes.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm a little bit worried about Doctor Strange. No.
Maybe it's the situation like with me. I didn't even know about this. Maybe they weren't good about getting the word out about this. Because if I had known about it, I would have went. I would have taken free passes to see 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So I think that's the case. I think this movie is going to do well.
Yeah, I think it's going to do well. I think it's going to build because of word of mouth. I don't know how well it's tracking at all.
Well, it'll probably be as successful as the first Thor because it's got that kind of a feel, it seems.
Yeah, yep.
So, but it'll be more successful than Ant-Man.
I think they might be looking at maybe, well, I think it will be, but yeah, I think they might be looking at Ant-Man numbers for it.
I don't think it'll be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like if you said, you know, we're giving out, you can check out 15 minutes of like almost any other Marvel movie except for Ant-Man before, like you would think people would go nuts over it.
Yeah. Well, maybe, like I said, I didn't know about this until I heard about you after the fact had gone. So maybe it's a case where they didn't do a good job marketing this.
Yeah, maybe. But again, it's not tracking. And if they're screwing up on the marketing, and that's not a good thing. But the footage I saw was pretty amazing. It was pretty much like a 15-minute trailer.
A little bit about it. Maybe we should drop a spoiler alert here in case somebody doesn't want to hear about Doctor Strange. Spoilers. Here's a little spoiler alert for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a spoiler. Here's a spoiler. You will die alone.
All right. Spoil away. Tell me about it.
All right. So it pretty much plays out like the trailers that we've seen before, just a little bit more dialogue. Stephen Strange is a powerful doctor. He's very incredibly rich, very smug, reminded me a lot of Robert Downey Jr. and Thor, for that matter. Just very, you know, pleased with himself.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Tony Stark type character.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they introduce Rachel McAdams' character too as a nurse who works in the ER.
Night nurse?
I don't know. I think so.
I don't think so because they actually referred to Rosario Dawson's character as Night Nurse in the Luke Cage series.
Oh, really?
Yes. Obviously, you're not that far along yet.
No, I've been busy.
Yeah, they actually, somebody referred to her as the Night Nurse. So I'm thinking Rachel McAdams is someone else.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense. But they do show him getting into the car accident, and it's pretty graphic.
Yeah.
And pretty violent, too. And he's a guy who, you know, everything I'm saying has already been established in the trailer. He's a guy who's on a mission to try to heal his hands because his hands are taken away from him through the accident.
And that's his bread and butter.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's how he's one of the most powerful doctors, you know, in the world. So his travels bring him to meet the Ancient One, played by Tilda Swinton.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to introduce him to a world that could help him with his hands.
And that's sorcery.
Yes. And there's a lot of humor in this movie. It's a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be. The scenes that I saw, because she's very like, she reminded me of Yoda in Empire Strikes Back. Like the when you first meet him and he's kind of like whimsical and silly.
Mm-hmm.
She reminds me of that.
Or kind of like Mr. Miyagi in Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And he's goofy when you first meet him, and then he gets down to business and he starts training Danielson.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yep. She reminded me of that. But there's a scene where the scene in the trailer that we see where she punches him or she hits him. And
he knocks his astral presence right out of him.
Right.
It's awesome.
And then he comes back in, and then she puts her hand on his head and sends him into another dimension, I guess you can say. And that sequence is some of the most trippiest visuals I've ever seen in a movie. Huh? Like, I can't even describe it. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. And one of the first things I thought about is that little kids are going to, like, flip out when they see this scene. They're going to be like...
Little kids and acid takers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm, like, watching it going, God, I've never taken LSD, but I would imagine this is what it feels like. Because it was like, and I saw it in IMAX 3D, so it's like immersive. But there's scenes of him just like falling to different realms. And there's a scene where he looks down at his hand and each finger grows its own little hand.
What?
And then each of those fingers grow their own little hand. So pretty soon he's holding up his two hands and it's just like a billion hands. And then they start to suffocate him. I mean, it's like bizarre.
There's going to be a lot of bad trips going on.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, it sounds like people are going to be freaking out, running out of the theater.
They are. They are. It looks so trippy. And then after that, you get some superhero stuff. Now, the bad guy played by Mads Mikkelsen.
Mm-hmm.
Mikkelsen.
Who's also in Rogue One.
Yeah, see, keep that Disney family together.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing a bad guy, and I'm not too familiar with him, but he looks like he has some powerful stuff going on. Like he looks like he's putting Doctor Strange and the character that Chiwetel Ejiofor plays.
Baron Mordo.
It looks like he's putting him through the ringer. He's like messing him up. And watching the scenes, I'm like, I don't know how they're gonna get out of this, man. He's putting a hurt on him.
Yeah. Well.
So it has that Iron Man Thor thing where they're on top of the world, they have to get taken down a few pegs in order to learn their lesson, and then it has that really trippy sequences visually, and then it has some really cool fight scenes. Like it feels like a superhero comic book movie. It looks amazing. Like I was already gonna go see it before, but I'm telling you right now, for a Marvel movie, this is unlike anything you've seen. It's
right.
Ridiculous.
Oh, it's introducing magic into the Marvel MCU, so that's cool.
Yeah. And I think I was reading somewhere that when the scene of him going through different, when he goes into like that different realm, those different dimensions, because he's able to do that, that kind of opens up the door to other universes.
Sure.
Like the Ultimate Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like there could be a link to a Miles Morales Spider-Man.
There you go.
I never thought of that. I think that's amazing. So if that's the direction that they're going, Marvel is like, man, they are on the top of it. I think this movie is going to be, if all of the ingredients look like it's there, if they stick the landing, Doctor Strange is going to be like a game changer, I think.
Yeah, he could be. Well, they're hoping he's going to be the new like flagship character for the movies because you can't ride Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.'s coattails forever. He's getting a little long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to need somebody to step up. I said with the Infinity War coming, Doctor Strange is probably one of the only characters who's strong enough to go toe-to-toe against Thanos.
Yeah.
When he has the Infinity Glove, so gauntlet. Yeah, it looks good. I'm looking forward to it. And you know what is confusing to me, though, is this movie supposed to be taking place in the past or is it current? Because if you remember back in Captain America Winter Soldier, Agent Sitwell from S.H.I.E.L.D., a.k.a. Hydra, said something to Captain America about how they're watching all the potential heroes or the potential threats, and he name drops Stephen Strange. So why would Stephen Strange, the surgeon, be a potential threat? Like, you know what I mean? If he wasn't already dabbling in the magics.
Right. I think that the movie's going to start before. I think it's going to start around the time of Iron Man 2.
Oh, and then it'll catch up to current day. So we're going to get like a flashback of him becoming Doctor Strange.
Right. He'll be training through most of that stuff. Because there was a part, and this is a little bit of a spoiler. We're still in spoilers. Yeah. There was a part before the accident where, being the amazing doctor that he gets to choose what surgeries he wants to perform. So, of course, he's going to be looking at the hardest ones to do. And one of them that they're offering to him was a soldier that was trying out a mech suit. And my first thought was, oh, it's Rhodey from the end of Civil War.
Right.
But then I was thinking about it, and I was looking at other theories. It actually might be one of the reason why Justin Hammer went with drones in Iron Man 2 instead of guys in suits was because some of them got hurt.
Right, right. They probably got fused into the suit or something.
Yeah, I think they were showing footage of one of them getting messed up in Iron Man 2 during that courtroom scene. So I think that's why Doctor Strange is going to start off around that time.
That's cool. If they tie that all together like that, I will be impressed, because it is going to throw a little bit of a snafu into that Stephen Strange mention in Winter Soldier, if this is current day and he's just now becoming Doctor Strange.
Right, yeah. So I think by the time we get to that part in Captain America 2, he's already
established.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Cool. All right. So you're so far so good as far as Doctor Strange is concerned. You're on board.
I am 110% on board, now that I've seen the trippy sequence, man. I'm telling you, it's gonna melt people's brains. It's so amazing.
Well, there's a good chance we'll all be going to a Thursday night showing of that, and we will be discussing it on that following weekend's podcast. So I can't imagine we wouldn't be.
Awesome. Aubrey, are you ready for Doctor Strange?
I am.
Yeah, okay. even though it does star Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. He looks the part. It's just he's really weird looking.
He looks like a gray alien.
Yeah.
With a mustache.
I'm telling you, if for some reason they manage to get him and Tony Stark together in the same scene, I might cry. I think those two guys are going to like bounce off of each other so perfectly.
Yeah, I agree. I would love a Spider-Man cameo, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
That would blow my mind. Because he's in New York. You know what I mean? That's where Sanctum Sanctorum is. So it could happen.
Yeah, it could.
That'd be wild. But anyway, all right. So is that about all we have to discuss this week?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. We covered everything.
Nice. I like to hear that. Well, then I guess I would say to you,
it seems to me like you're the expert, Mark.
Because you were the expert this week. Thank you for taking over for Joey, our absent Joey, and handling the topics and the social media and all that. You did a good job.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
I'm proud of you. Looking forward to hanging out with you this Saturday at BingCon.
Yeah, it should be a good time. I love BingCon.
Yeah, it's a small convention, but you know what? Those are nice, those small conventions. You actually can like meet the people and talk to the people you want to meet and talk to. $5 is a phenomenal price to get in. That's crazy.
And the food there is really good too.
Yeah, you're right.
The sandwiches last year, oh my God.
Yeah, so what was that, Godzilla sandwich or something?
No, we had like Godzilla cookies like the first year. Oh, wait, yeah, it was
Godzilla sandwich with like jalapeno peppers and stuff. That was really good.
Yeah, it was like a pulled pork something.
Yeah, I don't know, it had like cheese on it. It was really good. It was
so good.
I won't be eating that type of thing this year, though. That is against my diet, unfortunately.
That's all right. I will be eating for you.
That's right. I'll just live vicariously through you. You can tell me how great it is.
I will definitely do that. Eat it nice and slow.
And I'll just sit there and watch. Gross. All right, cool. Well, how about some recommendations then? Aubrey Litchfield, do you have anything you'd like to recommend to our whiz kids out there this week? What have you been watching? What have you been reading? What have you been into?
I've been doing nothing this week.
Nice. Well, if you could do something, what would you do?
Sleep.
Yeah, sleep. I recommend everybody go to BingCon or Super Mega Fest.
Oh, okay. That's the same weekend, huh?
It is. I will be at Super Mega Fest.
You're representing for So Wizard at Super Mega Fest while Mark and I are at BingCon.
Yes.
Look at you. I'm proud of you.
No, I never do it.
Good for you. All right, well, we'll expect a full report on next week's episode.
Yes.
That's right. Take lots of pictures.
I'll try.
No, you'll do. There's no try.
My best friend is bringing me, so.
Are you going to be rocking the cock shirt that Mark was selling at the Big E?
I didn't get to buy one.
Damn it.
I know.
What?
I didn't go to the Big E.
No
big. Large crowds.
Arbor, you shouldn't be wearing that shirt anyway. You should be cosplaying.
I'm going to wear a So Wizard t-shirt.
All right. That's a fine alternative. I say cosplay. That's what I say.
I say cock shirt.
It's a cock!
I just put it to a vote. WizKids, what do you think Aubrey should wear to Super Mega Fest?
I know. Let me know before Saturday.
Wear a Soul Wizard shirt.
It probably will be that. I'd have to spend money to cosplay.
Yeah, right. Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Aubrey, for that recommendation. How about you, Marky Mark, Mark Hillis Reagans? You're the expert. What do you want to recommend to the kids out there?
I want to recommend all of the WizKids go to SoulWizardPodcast.com, download the podcast. You can catch it there every week, new episodes. Check out our Facebook page, our Twitter page. Go to iTunes, subscribe, 5-star review, Stitcher Radio, all that good stuff. Any place where you can find podcasts, look for Soul Wizard, get at us. I also want to recommend watching Atlanta. I know I've said it, I was going to promote it every week. And
I can second this.
Every episode that's good, I'm gonna come on and promote it. The show, it works on so many different levels. It's really intelligent and also really funny.
And it's very different. Like, every episode is different. Like, he's doing some really unique things. This past episode where it was like a fake Montel-type TV show, Montague.
Montague, yeah.
Oh, my God. With the complete with fake commercials from... Was it called BAM?
Yeah, BAM, Black America Network, or Black American Network.
American Network.
Like a spoof on BET.
See? It was fucking genius. Yeah, the commercials were genius.
The show is, like, Donald Glover is, I think working on Community kind of let him see what was possible as far as how you can push things on television.
And it showed that he had a sense of humor, so you knew you were going to get some funny shit out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely recommend it. Everyone should check out Atlanta on FX on Tuesday nights. It's a really good show. It's really funny.
That's right.
Oh, and also Supergirl.
Buddy. We didn't even discuss Supergirl. Yeah. We should have.
Yeah, I didn't even mention it. The first episode of the new season featured Superman and
Clark Kent, the Clark Kent we want.
It was so much fun. Like the guy that played Clark Kent was actually really good, and I love the fact that everyone was in love with Superman and Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty funny. So, I recommend Supergirl, because I think now that they're on the CW, they're really going to push the comic book elements of it, and it's really going to get to that Flash level of good entertainment, good comic book entertainment. So, Supergirl.
Yeah, and they actually, there were some cool Lex Luthor mentions.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduced one of Superman's famous villains in this particular episode, but I'm not going to spoil it for those who haven't seen it yet, but there is a origin story for one of his more well-known villains, which is very cool.
Yeah. It's a really good show. They've really stepped it up. I think all of the CW shows are kicking it up a gear this season.
You know, my favorite part of the whole thing was how they suddenly have like a new DEO office that's like above ground, and it's always, yeah, this has been here the whole time, and now suddenly they're not in the basement DEO base anymore. Just pretend it doesn't exist. It's like, oh yeah, this was always here, we just didn't use it all the time.
Yeah, that was like a little stab at CBS, like, oh, now we're in like a nice, big, bright place.
Yeah.
Look at our new home. It's so much better now.
Be dark and dank. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. I liked that. That was good. It was well done. Yeah. It's off to a good start. Not that, I mean, it ended strong last season on CBS, but CW is definitely taking the reins and they're going. And I didn't notice a huge drop off in terms of special effects either. I think it was still pretty well done. Looks like they still spent some money on it, you know?
Yeah, I think because it was the first episode they were allowed to do that. You might start to see it right around episode like 5 or 6.
Yeah, you'll start seeing stock footage of her flying. Yep. She's flying by that same building every scene.
Yep.
That's okay. As long as the story doesn't suffer, I can deal with a little bit the special effects to be a little less. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get how it works.
So what about you, Tommy? What do you recommend this week?
Well, I recommend a little show on HBO called Westworld, if you haven't checked that out yet. It's episode 3, I think, came out tonight, but you can get caught up relatively quick. It's got Anthony Hopkins and, Rachel Evan Wood is in it, and, James Marsden, who played Cyclops in the X-Men movies, is in it. Ed Harris is in it. He's big shock. He's a bad guy in it. He's good as a bad guy, man. The guy can play a villain. But it's awesome. And if you remember the old Westworld movie with Yul Brynner, it's about a theme park with androids that are dressed as old Western characters. And rich people pay to go there and live out their old Wild West fantasies. And then, of course, you know, the androids become sentient and chaos ensues. So that's what this show is based on. And J.J. Abrams is involved in it.
Of course, he's involved in most things.
And it's pretty good. I'm on episode 2. Obviously, I haven't watched episode 3 yet because it just aired tonight. But I like what I've seen so far. And, you know, if you're into nude robots, there's a fuck ton of them in this show.
And who isn't?
Everybody's nude in this show. Just like, you know, everybody's nude in this show, and also
everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them.
That's right. But yeah, so check out Westworld, and like Mark said, check out Supergirl and The Flash, even though, you know, I still believe I'm right about that little faux pas that they had.
No, I don't think so. I'm caught up with The Flash. I think I'm right.
I don't know. We'll agree to disagree.
Okay.
Cool. Well, in that case, on behalf of my lovely and talented co-host, Miss Aubrey Litchfield.
Good night, good night, good night.
Was that Dracula Litchfield? Who was that?
I don't know. It could have been.
Good night, Aubrey. And, of course, your friend and mine, the expert, Mr. Marky Mark Markellis Reagans.
I will see you guys at BingCon 2016. Konnichiwa, bitches.
Yes, you will. That's this Saturday. My name is Tom Van Zandt. This has been episode number 115 of the So Wizard podcast. Special thanks to Mark Mastel for coming on. Appreciate it. Until next week, bye-bye. Good journey.
Everybody's got a little piece of Van Zandt in them.
Bitches, leave.
Have you felt it?